And let's open our Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 16, the last chapter in the book of Romans. And if you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to take it out of your hands, put it up, turn it off, or put it on vibrate, that would be a blessing. Talking to all the teenagers, especially who are tempted with social media, you don't need to check your Facebook account or Instagram or Snapchat, any of that stuff. Don't check the drug dealer to see if it's available on the streets after the service. Just turn it off and we'd be glad. All right. How many of you are glad to be in church today? Boy, I'm glad to be here. I spoke out of prison years ago when I was a teenager, and I didn't know the opening line you're not supposed to say. So at the prison, I said, "I'm glad you're here today." And they just kind of looked at me. And so I'm glad I'm here today. I want to read you one verse, and then we'll look over in Romans. And this is in 2 Corinthians. You need not turn there, but here's what Paul says to this church in 2 Corinthians. And here's what it says. He says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." In other words, Paul could have said, if you want to know what I'm all about, just look at those who've been hanging around me. He said, the letter that I wanted to read to you is already written on their hearts. So Paul is saying, look at these people. And then if you'll look down in Romans 16, Paul is giving his last greeting to the Christians in Rome. And he names a lot of names. Paul was what you would call a people person. We see in Romans 16:1, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church." Verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila." This is a married couple. "My helpers in Christ Jesus." Verse 5, "Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia." He was the first one that accepted Christ in Achaia. Verse 7, "Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen." Paul said, "I got some relatives that live there." Verse 7, the last phrase, "in Christ before me." Paul says they got saved before I did. Then verse 6, "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia." Verse 8, "Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord." See all those people that are in this church. This is 25 years after Paul got saved. And he's greeting all these people. And I'll put it this way, who are still after it. They're still with it. He got these people in church and influenced them. And decades later, they're serving the Lord. And then we see in verse 10, "Salute Apelles, approved in Christ." Verse 11, "Salute Herodian, my kinsman," probably named after King Herod. "Greet them in the household of Narcissus." Probably that person suffered from narcissism or something. Anyway, but here's where it started, right here. This Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Verse 12, "Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa." That's good names for twins. And so here's just all these people. Verse 15, "Salute Philologus and Julia and Nerosus, his sister in Olympus," probably named after the Greek god. And then verse 21, "Timotheus and Lucius, Jason, Sosipater." Verse 23, "Gaius and Erastus and Quartus." And he names just dozens of names here, and they're still with it. I'm going to have a prayer, and then if we can get Brother Steve that third air unit on. It's a little stuffy, and then we'll get with it. I'm going to show you a few pictures in a moment, and then we'll go right into the message. Father, bless this brief time that we have. Help us say something that would be a help. We've got kids just getting back from teen conference. We've got some parents who maybe have a brand new kid at home. And Lord, we sure want these kids to make it. As older people, we do understand the next generation will rule our country and will lead our churches and lead society. We need so much for them to get the vision and pick up the baton and carry on and follow through. I pray you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak for just a few moments on this subject. The kids that made it. The kids that made it. There's a lot of people in the Bible that are listed. And when we say those that made it, we're talking about those that got saved, grew in their Christian life, and did something for the Lord. Not always in ministry, maybe as a Christian business person, maybe as a godly mother or a godly woman or a godly single person, but they stayed in church, loved God, fell in love with this book, and did something for the Lord. Now, I'm just going to show in a few moments a sampling of pictures, tell a few stories. And of course, this is not everyone. This does not include the newbies, some of the people that's just gone on staff in the last few years from our church. It's not going to include a pastor's wife who's in Washington now. It's not going to include Jesse who's down in Los Angeles. It's not going to include my kids and your kids or church staff here. But it's going to give a little bit of history in just a moment. I've been in a Baptist church for 58 years. I've been full-time on a church staff 44 years. I've seen a lot of people come. I've seen a lot of people go. I've seen a lot of people start. I didn't see a lot of people finish. We want to be one who encourages the next generation. We want to be one, if we're a youth here today, we want to be one of those kids that made it. Let me just show just a few pictures here, and I'll kind of talk a little bit, then we'll get into the message. Here we are. Okay, this is Ethan Donahoe. Ethan's been serving on staff 7 or 8 years. He's the one I told you about. He'll be coming soon. No talents. You know, God gives everybody one talent except Ethan. When God gave out looks, he missed the roll call that day. I tell this to his back when he's not around, too. I would tell him. Ethan is not a sports star. He don't know which end of the basketball to bounce. He can't sing. He finished Bible college on his own without a dime from help from relatives or parents. He made it. Served on staff, ended up working in a Christian school. They hired him as a coach. A coach. For what? Chess, checkers, I don't know. Sports coach. He brought groups to camp and conference. Now he's headed. And by the way, the girl can't see very well. That's why she married him. He said, what is this beautiful girl marrying me for? I said, she can't see. Now they're headed to Bolivia as missionaries. The night he got saved, he was my soul-winning partner. We were on the soul-winning bus. He was in the 8th grade. I said, have you ever done this? He said, I've never done this. I said, you'll be my partner. We got off the bus. I said, Ethan, when did you get saved? He said, saved? He never even heard about accepting Christ. He got saved under the streetlight on Silverado Trail here in Napa. Gave his heart to Christ. It helps if you're saved, if you're going to preach the gospel. There's Ethan. Next. That's Casey. Casey was invited to the church. He came as an 8th grade boy. He was here his first Sunday. He was so excited to be in church, he went around shaking everybody's hand. He said, my name's Casey. This is my first time. Welcome. I mean, he's going up to veteran members. Welcome. It's my first time. He was so excited. He got saved right here at this altar. His very first Sunday, gave his heart to Christ. He's the story I tell. I was at Stonehouse Apartments. And I was door to door inviting people to church. I looked over my shoulder and there's a man with no shirt on, all tattooed up, shorts with a double-bladed axe. And he's walking. You can hear him breathing. Ha! 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 He's walking down the street. And in my heart, I whisper, where are the cops, Brother Hansen, when you need them? About that time, a police car pulled up. I said, yes. The car pulls up, rolls its window down, and says, what are you doing in this neighborhood? I said, hey, man, you got the wrong guy. I'm the good guy. There's the axe murderer over there. I told the story in church. A lady came up to me and said, "What year was that, Pastor?" I gave her the year. "What neighborhood was that, Pastor?" I told her where. She said, "That was my husband. High on PCP. He had just called me and said, 'I'm coming home. I'm going to kill you and the boy.'" That was Casey's daddy. Casey's pastoring a church now in Bakersfield, California. The most unlikely to be doing that right now. Next picture. You have to kind of tweak your head like that. But in the middle and the back is Bethany. Maiden name was Kirkpatrick. Eighth grade, her very first teen activity, we went to Scandia. I'll never forget, her older brother was there. She missed a step when you step into the little water boat, and she went under. When she stood up, she looked like a drowned rat. Her brother could not stop laughing at her. She went off to Bible college, finished, worked her way through, has taught in a Christian school in Ohio for years and years and years. Here's another picture. On the left, he was a foreign exchange student. He worked at a winery here in Napa. One of our men, Brother Avicha, worked there and says, "You ought to come to church with me." Zsolt Kovács. Never even heard the name before. Zsolt got saved. Zsolt's the one that called me on the phone and said, "Pastor, I need to be baptized." I said, "Well, good. We'll baptize you Sunday." He said, "No, Zsolt gets baptized today. I don't want to be disobedient anymore." I said, "The water's not even heated, Zsolt. It's okay. Jesus died for me. I can get baptized in cold water for him." He rides his motorcycle up here. I baptize him. Afterwards, he said, "Here is my checking account. Here's a check for $5,000. He said, "It's all I have. Here's the title to my car. Here's the title to my motorcycle." I said, "Joe, what is it? Are you dying or something?" He said, "I know we're in a building program, and Jesus has done so much for me. I want to do a lot for him." I said, "Joe, I can't take all this." I took it all, gave him $5, and said, "Call a Uber or something." And Zsolt was only here 1 year. They wouldn't let him stay because of immigration papers. He caught on fire for God, learned how to win souls, went back to Hungary and started churches. He's a missionary now in Hungary. Just brought all kind of groceries there to the Ukraine to help them. He's preaching the word of God. He sat right here. We only had him 1 year. Next, little taekwondo bow. A girl named Becky was taking taekwondo lessons here, an old martial arts place called Sidekicks. She invited her instructor, Mike Sikowski, to come to church. Mike was born and raised Roman Catholic. Dropped out of church. He said, "I got some questions for you, Pastor." We drove around town for a long time. I tried to answer all his questions. We pulled up into the church parking lot, and he got saved. Amen. He caught on fire for the Lord. He has a studio witnessing all the time in Idaho. He started a church there. He's a pastor. He used to sit right here. Next. Angela is the one on the right. The first day we ran the Vallejo bus route, I noticed a place I'd never seen. It's called Mare Island. It was when all the Navy housing was there and Navy people, and even the Marines had a little dormitory there on the base. She rode the bus the first Sunday we ever sent the bus to Vallejo. Age 15. She cried throughout the service, came forward, gave her heart to Christ. She got saved. Went to teen camp, cried the whole week. Her family was so dysfunctional back home in Texas. She had moved here to live with her brother. She got her high school diploma, went off to Bible college. I hired her here. She fell in love with Stephen Benefield. They've now been missionaries for 20 years in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Just a little bus girl. Just a teenager that rode the bus. What does she have to offer us? Maybe nothing. But God had a lot to offer her. A life beyond what she had. Not only that, next. Then we see second person from the left. That's Becky Miracle. Her maiden name was Unverfirth. Her mother is Korean. Kim married an atheist. Becky was the only child. Kim visited our church and brought Becky. At age 7, Becky received Christ as her Savior in her living room. Her daddy would never darken the doors of our church. Didn't believe in it at all. His last year of life, came down with cancer. God started softening his heart. He got saved before he died. Amen. Becky and her husband went to China, Chengdu, for many years and were missionaries there now. She's a pastor's wife in Santa Rosa now. Just a little single parent home. Just the mother believed. And mother brought her Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They were always here. I still remember she was taking Taekwondo lessons, and her black belt final exam was on a Sunday morning. The exam was 8 o'clock. She had to run 16 miles and do all these exercises before Sunday school. She finished the whole exam, 10 o'clock, was in the teen class. What a girl. Next. That's Bradley to the left. We don't care a lot about him. This is Ashley on the right. Ashley thought she got saved when she was real young. She made sure of it when she was 12. The whole time she was here, I never remember one issue with Ashley. She just soaked everything up. She served whatever there was to do. She was in it. Loved the Lord, servant. Went off to Bible college. Fell in love with Bradley. Bradley, I'm going to be a missionary to Mongolia. Okay. They've been faithfully serving there. Learned the language. Live in a what, Natalie? Okay, I don't know what that is, but I've seen pictures. They just got back from visiting them. They're loving those people and reaching that country for Christ. Next. There's Lawrence. He was here a couple weeks ago. He gave his testimony. He met someone from our church when he was in the Marines. He got saved as a little boy in Fairfield. Struck water, grew. He's on staff at a great church right now in Indiana. Next. This is Corey. Tell you how old I am. Corey was 18 when I moved here. Corey had a little afro. Or an afro wannabe, maybe it's a perm. He's the one who looked down at me and said, "You're going to be our next pastor." I spoke one Sunday. He said, "You're going to be our next pastor." He said, "I'll see you in the fall." He's the one his mother found. I guess it's okay to say this. He told me this in confidentiality. Found marijuana in his room. And she said, "You're grounded the rest of your life." Back then it was wrong. Now it's okay. So they say. So she found that marijuana and said, "You'll sit with me in church, every service or in front of me." So she would sit on the second row way over here. Corey would sit on the front row way over here, you know, in front of her. Corey caught on fire for the Lord. He's been pastoring a church that he started 27 years. In Longmont, Colorado. One of the boys from our church. Next, we're almost out of pictures. This is Rob Northrup on the right. Rob was in our church 1 year. He was at Travis Air Force Base. One of our men one Thursday night drove up and said, I'm going to knock doors on the base in the dorms where the single guys are and try to get some guys to church. He met Rob, and Rob said, I'm looking for a church. And then we got kicked off the property. We couldn't visit anyone else. Rob came that Sunday. He was already saved, but he caught on fire for the Lord. Rob went on to serve at a church in Spokane, Washington. Then he pastored for about 15 years in Maine. I did his funeral several years ago. He was here 1 year. You can't tell by his beautiful smile. When we met Rob, he had like 64 teeth right there in the front. All his teeth were in the front. I remember looking at him saying, he better get those teeth fixed or he'll never have a date the rest of his life. He got his teeth fixed. Wasn't long before God did something great in his life. He's just here a year. Anybody else? Or is that our last one? Here's one. There's Joseph. Joseph finished college, then came here. He said, I just want to help you, Pastor. He was the Filipino from Luzon, Bacoors, who was so shy, you'd never know Joseph was at church. Shy, quiet. He taught Sunday school, drove a bus. Then one day he came to me just weeping. He said, Pastor, I've got to go back to my people. They're going to hell. I've got to go back. His mother owned a house in the Philippines. He didn't know he was supposed to raise financial support. I said, we'll support you $100 a month. Someone else said, we'll support you $100. He went to the Philippines on $200 a month and just started knocking doors, inviting people to church. I've spoken at his church many times. They own a building now, a three-story building. They've had thousands and thousands of people saved. It's unbelievable. There's Joseph Sabater. Who else? Is that kind of it? Let's have all the lights just for a second. I said, Pastor, how come my picture's up there? Hey, my picture's not up there either. Like I said, just a sampling. So if your favorite person in the whole world didn't make the slideshow, sorry. We'll put them up there next time. So here's the message just briefly. What did they all have in common? Why did they make it and others in church at the same time wiped out? Why are they still in church and others hadn't been to church in 25 years? Why are some of them preaching this morning? Some of them are in jail this morning. How come? What is the difference? I've seen a lot through the years. I just want to give you the common, big word, denominator of why they made it. Number one, they made a decision. Years ago, someone put a door knocker on their door, this family. You've seen the verse from Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've seen that, it's very famous. Well, this household had a rebellious son named Henry. So the dad put a little sign under the door knocker that said, accept Henry. Henry came home from high school and he said, hey, what's with the door? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, except Henry. His daddy said, son, we're an honest household. We just put it the way it is. You don't want to serve God? We want everyone to know it. They started praying for Henry and Henry got his heart right. And he said, Dad, I got my heart right. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do right. I want to obey you guys. Can I take my name off the door now? What did these young people do? They made a decision. For some, it was a decision to receive Christ as Savior. And that's where it all starts. You cannot live the Christian life if you're not saved. It's not a bunch of rules. It's not what you do. It's who you know. It's a relationship. They made a decision. Number two, they got their esteem from God, not from others. See, folks, if we're people pleasers, will look to someone else and say, how are we supposed to dress? Okay. How am I supposed to talk? Okay. And you're always looking to others for approval and acceptance and esteem. But when you realize God loves you, period, good or bad, it helps you. God loves you, period. Well, if you go to church, he loves you. If you don't go, he doesn't. Wrong. He loves you, period. No matter what you do, what you are, where you've been, what you've said, God loves you. He has a plan for your life, and you're going to have to get that from him. I'm somebody because I'm a child of God, and you are too. They got their esteem from him, not from other people. That's why the crowd does not have to control you. That thing of peer pressure does not have to change you as long as you're real concerned what he thinks. Number three, common denominator. They were close to authority. They were close to authority. Let's find out, little illustration. Who's ever hammered something in the wall, maybe a nail to hang a little picture with something beside a hammer? How many of you? It was a shoe. Okay? A book. How many of you? You're just man of steel. Your knuckles. Just, you know. Brother Schulte, probably. Probably Brother Schulte. Some of you teenagers, maybe it was your head. That's what it looked like. So, now I'll tell you why. You had a perfectly good hammer in the garage, but guess what? The hammer wasn't close. But something else was close. Here's what God does. God looks around and says, man, I'm looking for someone to use. I'm looking for someone to do something great. But who's around? The talented. They're nowhere to be found. The educated, sometimes they're far away from God. The good looking, it's just few of us around. But here's what God says. Well, who's around? And he finds just a normal, regular person that's close to him and says, this one's close. I can use him. And that's what he does. Close to authority. I was walking home several months ago, and we live just three doors down. Napa's not a dangerous place to live. So I'm starting to walk home, and I see two or three teenagers with me. I kind of take a step. I'm kind of walking home, and two or three from the church, not strangers. Who are you guys? And I walk a little further, and can I help you? No, sir. And I walked a little closer to my house. I said, is there something wrong? No, sir. No, pastor. And I'm walking and they're just kind of around me like the paparazzi or something. I don't know. I said, can I help you? They said, we just want to hang around the pastor. I said, look at that. Every one of those people I know, somehow they were close to authority. They were close to this authority. They were close to that authority. They worked at getting close to their parental, their parent authority. They worked close at getting close. Instead of dodging the pastor, heading out the back door and running for their life. Pastor, good sermon today. Hey, that really helped me today. Man, I was listening. Boy, I really like this. It's something about it. Number four, common denominator. They learned to stand. The Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Every one of those people learned to stand alone for right. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, and having all done all to stand, stand therefore. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's the problem in our nation today. Most politicians, you have no idea what they believe. They'll never say it. They'll change it because they don't take a stand on anything. They learned to stand. Daniel said, I'm not going to eat the king's meat and drink his wine. Three Hebrews, we're not going to bow down to the idol. Acts 4, you can beat us, but we're not going to stop talking about Jesus. I saw one in yesterday. My partner was Justo Alvarez. He's here this morning. We were out witnessing, and he said, you know what? And somehow Casey, who was in the video with the beard, came up. He said, I was in high school with him. I said, you were in high school with Casey? I sure was. He said, I'll never forget it. We're in science class, and they asked us to write, how do you think the world began? He said it was 10 questions. Casey put a Bible verse by every question. They showed it to the class. He said, "That took a lot of courage, didn't it?" I said, "That took a lot of courage." And guess who still remembers that 25 years later? The one I was soul winning with yesterday. Old story, I'll tell it. It's a few new people. When I was in high school at Estruma High, I tried to take a stand. 2,000 students. I carried my Bible to school on top of my books every day. I carried my soul winning testament in my pocket. I had gospel tracts with me. I was giving them out all the time at my public school. I thought it was the mission field. When they gave out the high school diploma, the high school yearbooks, one of the guys in our class who was way out there, an atheist, he grabbed my high school yearbook and wrote in it, "If what you're telling us is true, I'm going to burn in hell forever. But it's okay. I'll bring a bag of marshmallows and roast them with the devil." Ha, 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 ha. That's written in my high school yearbook. I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. I graduated, didn't see that guy named Pat anymore. I went off to Bible college, came back to work on staff at my home church. Sunday morning, 4 years had passed. He went to be a microbiologist at Louisiana State University. I'm standing up preaching to a group of people. The back door opens up. Guess who walks into the church? Pat. And I just looked at him. I said, "Pat." He said, "Mike." And I shouldn't have said it. I think I said, "Why are you here? Are you here to shoot everybody and bomb the building? I mean, why are you here?" He looked up. Here's what he said, quote, "I got saved. And when I got saved, I thought of you. I want to get baptized today, and I brought my first tithe check. It's $1,100. Is that okay?" I said, "Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's a start." Someone's watching you. As you take a stand at work, as you take a stand in the neighborhood, and you don't have to be mean about it. You can just do right, and others are watching. They're admiring you. What do they have in common? They took a stand for right quickly. They got their prayer and Bible time consistent. Somehow, years ago, when we built the two-story building, we planted all these trees next to the street. Lightning's killed a couple and beetles have killed others. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I remember we had to water those trees every week. They're very thin. Very young. We had to water them every week. Then I remember one week, one of those trees, it just took off. You know what happened? It hit water. Some people, you got to water them every week at church because they never drink any all week long. They never drink from the reservoir of this well right here. And they come thirsty. And so all they get is Sunday morning. All they get maybe Sunday night. But those people on those pictures there, they hit the well. They hit the roots. And somehow they were drinking Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, spending time in this book and spending time in prayer. And something happened. And then some fruit started coming in their life. What do they have in common? Quickly, they listened. In Revelation, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." You that are married and have married problems. You say, "Wait a minute, wait, don't lump me into that." No, if you're married, you have marriage problems. You're either working through them or you're running from them. And you'll always see when one stops listening, there's problems. Those that made it, listen. Now let me encourage you who've been saved a long time. Keep listening, because those who aren't are going to need you one day. I don't know how many times through the years, just being here 37 years, Pastor, I wish I'd have listened. You tried to tell me, but I didn't listen. Little boy was on a plane, his first flight. I tried to Google and find out the flight number. I never could find it, but I remember reading the story. Stewardess came on, buckle your seat belts and this and that, pay attention, here's the exit. If you fly much, you know the spiel. The flight took off, it didn't get very far and hit wind shear and crashed. Pilot killed, co-pilot killed, stewardess is killed. Everyone killed on the plane except one boy. They interviewed the little boy and they said, why do you think you lived? He said, during the announcements, people were looking out the window, talking, reading, sleeping. But I listened. I listened. Let me ask you a question. Kids, do you listen to your parents? Yeah, I'll listen. I'll listen. I'm slamming the door. I'm listening. Mate, do you listen? Christian, are you listening? Church member, when you're here in church, are you listening? Pastor, you're going overtime right now. I know. You're watching instead of listening. Quickly, they began soul winning. Those that made it soon got a heart for souls. One of those pictures, Corey Stoolian with the beard now. I still remember him bringing his teacher to our Sunday night church service. His school teacher, Napa High. I remember him bringing fellow students. How come? He got a heart for souls and started going after people. Quickly, they began serving. They began serving. For me, seventh grade, our pastor said, we're having church-wide soul winning. I want every member coming to church. We're going to knock on doors. Amen. I was seventh grade. The pastor was new. Guess who showed up that night? The pastor, me, and a one-legged deacon named O.W. Moore. I was 12. Brother Smith said, I've got some visits to make. Mike, how about you go with Brother Moore? That's every seventh grader's goal in life. To go visiting in a car alone with a 70-year-old man with one leg that's wooden. What do you say? You ever scratch the wrong one? Do termites make you nervous? Does it ever fall off when you're going door to door? I remember this. A couple got saved that night. He had me hold the baby. And for the first time, I saw two souls accept Christ that weren't in church. They were at someone's house. And all the way home, I said, I think I'd like to do that again. I began driving the church bus when I was 16. In Louisiana, the laws are not as strict. I'd never driven a bus, never practiced on a bus. Hey, we need a bus driver for Vacation Bible School. I got in the bus, drove off, instrument panel caught on fire on the way back. Flames are shooting up. I pulled off the side of the road. Kids are jumping out the emergency door. My first time driving a bus. I worked at McDonald's for a year and a half. So my very first sermon ever was called Hamburger Christians. Are you a raw hamburger? Are you well done, thou good and faithful hamburger? Are you burnt out? You said, what was your scripture? Leviticus, you're bacon in a frying pan. I preached in rest homes. You know you're called to preach if you can preach a message to people in a rest home. You're gathering the crowd. You got that sermon ready. They're rolling up. About that time, someone says, she touched me. He took my lunch. Hitler's alive. I mean, it is. I mean, they're all different. One of our boys, I think it was Jonathan, someone reached over and bit him on the hand during the service. You can preach in a rest home. God's called you. Quickly, I've got to wrap this up. Next, what they have in common? They could say no. Christian, aren't you tired of sin? Aren't you tired of the shame, the embarrassment, what it does to your name, the reaping process, the hurt, the letdown, the addictions that come with it? Aren't you just tired of it? And we still look and we get tempted. You know, some of us ought to just say no. Well, what do you think about no? Hey, would you like no? Would you like no? You love Christmas? No. Excuse me. They could say no. And then last, they were surrendered. They were surrendered. When I was a teenager, I'd read a book, excuse me, about being an evangelist. And I wanted to be an evangelist. I read the life story of David Livingston, missionary to Africa. Then I wanted to be a missionary to Africa. Whatever I read, that's what I wanted to be. That's why I didn't read mass murderer books or something like that. It's what I wanted. We have someone that used to attend our church named Jesse Everson. When Jesse came to our church, Jesse was sleeping in his car. No one knew. He had some character about him. He'd go shower at a public place, work a job, slept in his car. He was on hard times. Came to our church for a while and started winning souls and leading people to Christ. Big, tall guy. Went off to Bible college. With no help from anybody, he finished Bible college. Throughout his 4 years at college, I would get these texts from the vice president of his college. And it would be a picture of Jesse kneeling at the altar. And underneath it, he texted the vice president, "A regular occurrence." It was a chapel service. And at the end, Jesse'd be praying on the altar at the end of the service. He'd be praying at the end of a church service. Know what he was doing? He was yielding. Lord, God was saying, "I need, yes. Would anybody, yes." Amen. He was yielded. Amen. Would you do anything that the Lord wants you to do? Would you drive a bus? Would you get your CDL? Would you pass out a gospel tract? Would you be a part of these Bible clubs and reach some of these areas that no other church cares about? But he does. Is there some area he's working on your heart about? Coming back on Sunday night? Finishing discipleship? Teaching a class? Helping in the nursery? So much to do and so little time to do it. Just wanted to share with you just a sampling of some of the kids that quote, and they're not perfect, but they made it. May that be the goal for every young person here. We just want you to make it. I guarantee you, they're 100 times happier than those who turn their back on the Lord. I guarantee you. Happier in Mongolia than backslidden in a 5-star resort in America. There's no place like the will of God. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's where all decisions start. I'll take Jesus as my Savior. He'll save you today. If you've been saved and never been baptized, today's the day to do it. And maybe God spoke to your heart about one of these denominators that you need. And you can make a decision today. We hope you will. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on this time.